Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Star Foundation, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
Good morning, Celeste Headley out here, still in Denver for at least one more day. I'm broadcasting from the studios of KUVO and KVJZ in Colorado. Good morning, John.
Good morning. If you really like it, will you stay longer?
You're in Denver?
You're going to be back home on Monday, right?
Yeah, I'll be all back right on Monday. Right. They're not going to let me stay longer.
No, you said at least one more day. I mean, it sounds like, I mean, things are fun in Denver, that's for sure.
They are. And the weather is lovely. You know, my coworkers call me all kinds of things, but it's in good fun. But employment discrimination, when people call you stuff at work that is not fun, like, it can be a serious issue. And the problem is that employment discriminations for Muslims are going up. Employers are barring workers from wearing headscarves or barring them from taking prayer breaks. And the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission has seen a steady increase in claims. Muslims, as we said, make up less than 2% of the U.S. population, but they made up one quarter of the discrimination claims filed with the EEOC last year. Here to talk about this with us is Stephen Greenhouse. He wrote about the increase in workplace discrimination cases against American Muslims for the New York Times. That piece is in there today. And he's on the line with us. Also, human rights lawyer and founder of themuslimguy.com, his website, Arsalan Iftikhar. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning, Celeste.
Stephen, first, give us an idea of how widespread this problem is. I mean, with the Muslims making up less than 2% of the population, is this really a serious issue?
Well, for Muslims, it's a serious issue. And certainly if you're Muslim at work, anyone who faces discrimination at work, it's a serious issue. You know, there aren't as many Muslims in the nation as African Americans or Hispanics, so there are fewer claims involving Muslims. But there's been a sharp increase in discrimination claims filed by Muslims over the past few years. It's up. There are 803 claims filed last year. That was up 20% from the previous year, which is a big jump. And it's up 60% over 3 years, which is a very, very big jump.
Well, let me play. I want to play a clip of one example of a case that's come before the EEOC. And this was an employee of Disney. Iman Budlal filed a discrimination complaint after Disney asked her to remove her headscarf. Let's hear that clip, Jane.
The first day when I showed up at work, I was wearing it. And then after 2 hours and a half, the manager showed up and said that they need to talk to me. So they pulled me to the back and then they said, well, you cannot work wearing your headscarf because you're not in compliance with the Disney look. They offered me either to work in the back or remove it and go back to the front or just go home.
We actually have a statement from the Disney company, and they say, as of last month, over the last 4 days, we made every attempt to provide Mrs. Budlal with several different costuming options, which we believe would accommodate her religious beliefs and meet our costuming guidelines. We also offered her 4 different roles that would allow her to wear her own hijab, and she's chosen to reject over and over again all the options presented to her. So, Arsalan, is this an example of somebody perhaps overreacting?
No, Celeste. You know, I sort of look at it as the next chapter in the civil rights history of America when it comes to religious accommodation in the workplace. You know, if you look at the early 1970s during the case law that revolved around religious accommodation, it primarily had to do with Jewish Americans and them trying to find religious accommodation either for taking off during the Sabbath or for wearing the kippah or the yarmulke. And now what we're seeing in the post 9/11 age is a sort of new trend in religious accommodation legal cases revolving around American Muslims, whether it's, you know, the ability to wear the hijab, keep a beard, or take off for religious holidays.
How do we evaluate what looks like a spike in the actual discrimination claims, Stephen Greenhouse, labor and workplace reporter for our partner, The New York Times? I mean, on the one hand, if it's an increase in actual acts of discrimination, that's, a negative for sure. But if it's also an increase in people feeling empowered that they have a place to go with their complaints that may have actually been going on for quite some time, that could be a positive sign of something. Muslims feeling as though they're a part enough of the community to actually have a place to go with their complaints. Stephen, which is it?
I think it's both, John. You know, when you see a 60% increase in claims filed over 3 years, it's not just that people are feeling more willing to stick their neck out and complain. I think there's more discrimination going on at work, and I think there's several reasons for that. You know, we've had this terrible recession, we have hard times, we have high unemployment, and I think when people are feeling stressed at work, they're more likely to lash out at coworkers. And Muslim workers are being victimized now, like Jews and Italian and Irish workers were in past decades. And second, we have these wars going on in Iraq and Afghanistan, and a lot of American soldiers have been killed by Muslim fighters. And we've had, the incident where the Muslim tried to bring down the plane over Detroit. And I think that this all angers and upsets Americans, and some of them lash out at their Muslim coworkers. So I think those two factors have increased discrimination against Muslim workers here in the United States. And at the same time, Muslim workers generally try to keep their head down and try not to protest. But when they've seen things getting worse for them, I think that's emboldened them, to use your word, John, to step forward and bring complaints.
Well, Stephen, I mean, the example from Disney is one, but from what I understand, the discrimination complaints are coming from all kinds of industries, all kinds of businesses.
Celeste, and then there's a range. In my article, I write about a Pakistani immigrant who spent 3 years driving trucks in Iraq to help the American war effort, and then he took a job in Houston, Texas, as a truck driver for a construction company. And he was called Al-Qaeda, he was called terrorist, he was called Osama, and he won after the EEOC sued on his behalf, he won a $60,000 settlement. You know, I write about a chef at a hotel in Phoenix, and he was called Osama as well, and terrorist as well, and camel jockey, and people would mock him by making ululations as he walked past. And then there's a case like Iman Budlal about whether she can wear a headscarf, whether the employer
Disney,
is making sufficient accommodation. Hers, of all the cases I wrote about, hers was like the grayest in terms of, the company says, we've really taken pains to create an alternate headgear for her, headscarf for her that they say is in the 1900s theme of the early 1900s theme of the restaurant she worked. And Iman Budlal says, oh, but it's totally un-Muslim. It's inappropriate for me. They're not making clear accommodation for me. And Disney said, basically, what do you want? We've done so much for you.
Right. Stephen Greenhouse is the labor and workplace reporter for our partner, The New York Times. His piece appears in the paper today. And Arsalan Iftikhar is an international human rights lawyer, founder of his website, themuslimguy.com. Thanks to both of you.